I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people that, like, if I go to someone's house for dinner and they don't have a salt and pepper shaker near me, I'm hesitant, but I always say, hey, do you have some salt? You know, because sometimes I like my food flavorful, and I know it's not good for me. It's probably adding to my, you know, not so skinny self. But I like things to have flavor. I don't like boring foods. I think some people approach food and they eat because they know it's something they have to do, and they're very healthy and health conscious about it, and they're very responsible, and it's a wonderful thing. I eat because I love food. I'm looking at Dominique because he teases me. He calls me a foodie. I love to go out to eat, and I love flavorful foods, and I'm excited about the Lighthouse restaurant. It has excellent food, so I'm always excited about food and potatoes, right? They're salty, right? They're yummy. But I think when we think about this passage, it says if salt lost its taste, like if I grab that salt shaker, right, and I put it on my food, like, you know, on the corn on the cob, you know, like it's a great place to put salt. You know, you put it on there, and then you put the corn on the cob in your mouth, and it didn't have any taste. I'd be like, we got to get salt, like, back. Like, what happened to it? Like, there's something missing, you know? And actually, that is the case if you have that, like, salt-free stuff. You know, it's in that little blue and white bottle, and it says it's, like, salt imitation. You know, I've tried that, and it's not salt. Just letting you know. But the passage, this is Jesus talking, says to us, you are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but it is thrown out and trampled underfoot. That's pretty intense, right? Because it's not talking about salt like on corn on the cob, right? What is it saying? It's saying that you, me, I am the salt of the earth, right? And that I could lose my taste. And then it's really harsh. It says, then you're good for nothing. Wow. I don't really like that. Can we just skip over this passage and go on to something nice? Like, you know, where it says I'm wonderful and everything I do will be great and congratulations and give me a little pat on the back and say God loves me, like, isn't that what you want to hear on a Sunday morning? Like, you don't want to hear that you're going to be good for nothing and thrown and trampled on. I'll come back. But next it says, you are the light of the world. You. I mean, we are the light of the world. Kind of gives me little chills. That's a happy thing, right? And it talks about a city built on a hill that cannot be hidden. And that's true. Have you ever been like in a dark field and over in the distance you see a town? Has that ever happened? Like I grew up in Pittsburgh, and when you drive across the Pennsylvania Turnpike, you go for a long time and you're in farm, right? And you see nothing. Like every once in a while you see a little light, you know, but mainly dark, like very dark. And the sky's lit up. You can see the stars really brightly. But all of a sudden you're driving along, and then you see a city, and it glows, like there's light, like coming up from it all around, right? And it's telling people, hey, there's people here, right? There's action, there's excitement, you can spice up your life, come here, right? It's a city on a hill, and it shines its light, and it cannot be hidden. And here's what Jesus says next. Lighting a lamp is not significant if you hide it under a bushel basket. You give it to all the house so that they can see the light. And Jesus says, let your light shine. Rise and shine. So that others may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Jesus is telling us about salt and light because they are things that are familiar to us. We certainly know what food tastes like without salt. We certainly know what it's like to be in a dark area without light. And so does everybody else. No matter where you live or around the whole wide world, you know those two things. You know what food tastes like when it's, when you're hungry, any food tastes good, so that's sort of different. But if you have the choice to have food that's flavorful or food that's not, you would choose, usually, flavor. John's Gospel, I sort of remind you most every Sunday, I didn't today because I wanted to talk about it here, but when Jonathan brings the light forward, he talks about how, or I talk about it as he shows us, that Jesus is the light of the world, right? And in John 1 of the Bible, it's one of my favorite passages, it says that darkness is there. I wish I could tell you as a pastor that you're never going to have anything bad happen to you, that life is going to be wonderful and full of blessings, and that everybody you love is going to be healthy and live a long life, and that you're not going to have hard times, and that nothing bad is going to... I want to say that for you, because I love you and I care about you. But I'm not going to deceive you. I'm going to tell you that life is going to be hard. And the only way that you're going to get through it is if you remember that Jesus is the light of the world. And that if he lives in you, you are the light of the world to others. And you don't hide it under a bushel, and you don't keep it private, and you don't sleep on it and pretend maybe tomorrow it's going to be important. You tell other people about your love for Jesus. And you live out your life. That's what this passage is really about. It's not about, believing it or finally accepting Jesus or knowing Jesus, although those things are extremely important. He's assuming that's already happened. What this passage is about is showing through the gift of your life the fullness of God's blessings that live in you, that Jesus works through you and lives in you and loves you and has a plan for you. In Jesus' day, salt was rare, and it was hard to obtain, and it was considered a precious commodity. Roman soldiers were even paid sometimes by salt as a payment. So I'm not suggesting that as a pastor you switch over from, compensation to salt, although I do like salt. I don't know if it has the same value today, but it gives rise to the saying, he is not worth his salt, if you've ever heard of that. Likewise, the word salary comes from the Latin word salararium, which also has a meaning of salt. The Hebrews sprinkled salt on sacrifices in the temple and used it to seal covenants. Ancient peoples massaged salt on newborn babies and used salt in healing. I had the great privilege when I was 26 years old and I graduated from seminary to head to Israel. When I was there, I took a day trip on a little bus, and we went through the Judean hills, and we went down into the valley where David's Spring is and Masada is, and I got out of the bus, and there's a big body of water there. Anybody know what it is? The what? The Dead Sea. Why do you think it's called Dead Sea? There's a lot of salt. And not a lot of things live in a lot of salt, right? But guess what you can do in a lot of salt? Float! Oh my gosh, it's awesome! You have to be very careful not to get it in your eyes, because I'm telling you, if you ever put salt in your eyes, it hurts. And that water is that water, so it would hurt. So you have to be very careful about your eyes. But you go in, and you're thinking you're going to be, swimming. You're not swimming. Like, you never go down. Like, it just holds you up and billows you and floats you around, right? And the Dead Sea was popular in the time of Jesus in its knowledge that salt has power. Eugene Peterson's version of verse 13 says as follows. Let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be salt seasoning that brings out God's flavors of this earth. And if you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? Jesus is not saying this to make us feel guilty. He is saying this to remind us that we are valuable, that we are a very special ingredient in this life, and that when we bring God into the world through our love of Him, we flavor the earth, we enrich it, we spice it up. Essentially, Jesus tells his followers to act for God in ways as important and varied as salt was in the earth back in his day. Do you remember this? There was a commercial a long time ago. I can't even remember what it was for. I think it was for Wendy's. Forgive me, Tina. Where's the beef? Was that for Wendy's? Okay. Thank you for the potatoes. Anyway, there was a commercial where it said, "Where's the beef?" right? And it was great. It was actually a great commercial. It was very popular. I mean, I'm aging myself because it's not really on right now. But everybody would go around saying it, like, you know, "Where's the beef?" You know what I mean? Like, laugh. Because other hamburgers were not as, you know, juicy or wonderful as Wendy's. Look, I'm giving your husband an advertisement. Look at that, right? Anyway, so I think I'm going to challenge all of you to certainly go to Wendy's because support Tina. But I'm going to also, and get salt on your French fry. No, but the second thing I'm going to say is that I think we should switch it up. And I think I'm going to challenge you this fall to, instead of saying, "Where's the beef?" to say, "Where's the salt?" And I'm not saying that because I really want you to look for salt, although it's flavorful and nice, right? I'm saying that because I want you to hold each other accountable. I mean, the kids were beautiful, weren't they, when I asked them about what life is like? You know, I mean, when it's boring, what? What can you do? What did the kids say? You guys listening? Were you listening? Pray! Oh, imagine that! The kids told us to pray if we're bored. Holy moly! Right? And then when I said, "Why do you think, you know, we should be light and salt to others?" You know, Miss Karina, you know, she's, what, 4 years old? Gonna be four, right? Says, you know, tell others about God. God's love. I mean, I don't need to preach. I mean, I'm just, next time, they're getting up here. I'm telling you, because that's exactly what Jesus is saying, right? That when you don't have to be bored when you're a Christian. Your life is spiced up because God loves you and has an important message for you and has an important purpose for you, and you are valuable to Him. And you are the light and the salt of the world. Amen.
Join to sing. This is what we're going to say. Come, Christians, join to sing. Hallelujah.